Begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin, daf Nun Ches. Begin on the bottom of Nun Zayin Beis, on the second line up at the bottom of the other. But the Gemara continues on a related discussion from the previous daf. The Gemara was discussing a certain halacha regarding the arayis of Bnei Noach. And on that, there was a brisa that was being quoted as support of Rabbi Yechon for an interpretation he gave in the previous daf. Now, in that brisa, there was an opinion of Rabbi Meir that was quoted, that he said a general rule. He said, Kol erva shebethen shal yisrael m'misna leh, any forbidden an intimate relationship that if a Jew committed, the Jewish court execute him. Ben noich muzrala, so then the non-Jew is forbidden in that type of relationship. If the Jewish court would not execute, then the ben noich is not even forbidden in that. That was the opinion of Remeir. And that's what the Gemara asked on that opinion, on contradiction of Remeir himself. It asked the Gemara, b'sub Remeir, is that to say that Remeir holds, kol erva shebezen shal yisrael m'misnala, any erva that the Jewish court would execute, ben noich muzrala, that then the non-Jew is prohibited? But Ratanya, in the Brisa that Remeir is quoted, which would contradict this opinion of Remeir in this Brisa. The Brisa says as follows, Ger, a convert, as we continue on top of Nunches and Aleph, Shahisa Hirasa Shalei Bekdusha, his conception was not in sanctity, meaning his mother was not yet, did not convert when she became pregnant with him. But Veleidasa Bekdusha, during the pregnancy, she converted, so he was born in sanctity when his mother was already Jewish. Now the truth is, any Gershon is guy, someone that converts, is like a cotton shenayled. It's like they were just born right now without any paternal or maternal relationships. And any relationships that have been had up until now when they were non-Jewish is non-existent. Now, however, there is a rabbinic decree that whatever types of relationships were forbidden to this person, even when they were non-Jewish, that it's going to be forbidden even now when they are Jewish, where they're not really related to them anymore, because like they were like a newborn person, is that people shouldn't say, what? When they were non-Jewish, they had more stringent relationships than they do have now as Jews? Which is not really the case, because not really related, but it seems like, what? The sister that was forbidden up until now, his mother was forbidden up until now, it's permitted? So therefore, if he marries his maternal sister who was born before his mother converted, and then she converted with her mother, and then this boy goes and marries her when he becomes an adult, that's the halacha that he has to go ahead and release her because she's his sister, and therefore he can't have him any worse than the ben noach, who is forbidden to have relations with his maternal sister. And as we said, rabbinically that applies now, even though he's a ger and he's not related to her anymore, shelo yemer, that they shouldn't say, what? When he was a non-Jew, he's forbidden to his maternal sister. Now he's permitted what? It gets easier when you become Jewish. It's lesser sanctity. Now, the reason for that case is that Remeir holds that his maternal sister is forbidden to a non-Jew. And even his father's maternal sister and his mother's, even as we'll see, paternal sister, which is because we learn that from Al Kenyaz of Ishes Aviv Esime, which was said to Adam Arishan that a man should leave his father and his mother, which we're going to explain, when it says Aviv means his father's sister, and Imay means his mother's sister, as Rabbi Loza explains later on. So therefore, regarding such a case where he's a convert, this says the Braisa, Yesh Le Shera'im, but he still has maternal relationships. But Ve'en Le Shera'av, but he doesn't have paternal relationships. Okay, it's a household. If he marries his maternal sister, meaning they share the same mother, then Yaitzi. As we said, although really he's not related to her, because once he's a convert, he wasn't conceived in sanctity, so he's not related to her. But rabbinically, we say that since as a non-Jew he would be forbidden, so we can't make it any easier now, even though he's not related to her as a Jew. Mina'av, but if it's only his paternal sister, they only share the same father, then Yikayim, then he could go ahead and maintain that relation, that marriage with his sister, because actually a non-Jew is not forbidden in his paternal sister when he's non-Jewish, only his maternal sister. As the Pasuk says, as we'll bring on Amud Beis in Bereishis Chaf, that Avram Avinu told Avimelech regarding his wife Sarah, V'gam Amna, and yes, the truth is, Achisi Bas Avihi, she's my sister, the daughter of my father, Achle Bas Imi, but not the daughter of my mother, which you see from there, is that the daughter of the same father is permitted to be the wife, even though she's my sister. And however, it's the daughter of the same mother that would not be permitted. And therefore, he's saying, don't worry, she's not my maternal sister, only my paternal sister. So to Achois Ha'av Mino Em Yoitzi, his father's maternal sister, he cannot have that marriage. As the Pasuk says, Al Kenyaz of Ishes Aviv, where therefore a man, which that's talking about non-Jews, B'nai Noach, who said to Adam Rishon before the Jewish people was around, a man shall leave his father, which the Gemara later on expounds. What does it mean, his father? It means his father's sister, if it's his maternal sister. But Mina'av Yikayim, if it's his paternal sister, again, by non-Jews, there's no paternal relationships, there's only maternal relationships, and therefore he could maintain that marriage. His mother's maternal sister, he cannot hold on to, as we'll see later on. That's where it says in the pasuk, "As aviv es ima," he should leave his father and his mother. That refers to his mother's maternal sister. Achayis ha'eim min ha'av. Now, regarding this last case, his mother's paternal sister, which means to say that it's his mother, his aunt, his mother's sister, where they share the same father but not the same mother. Remeir says that in that case he cannot stay married to that aunt. And that's a rabbinic decree because of the confusion that it could be to the case of his maternal sister. Since they both have some maternity related over there, even though here it's his mother's paternal sister, but if you're going to come to permit that case, people are going to say, oh, you know why it's permitted for him? Because there's no maternal relationships, because although that it's, because it's his, still his mother's sister, although it's his mother's paternal sister, but there's an element of mother over there, so then they might come to permit even his sister from his mother, and for sure to come to permit his mother's sister or his father's maternal sister. So because of that, there's a rabbinic decree, even when it's his mother's paternal sister, because there is an element of mother over there, to forbid that. Whereas the Chachom and Rikam, the Chachom say, no, you're allowed to maintain that, and they don't make such a decree, because it's not really similar to his father's, let's say, maternal sister, because over there you could decree that because there's an element of that there's an element of maternal over there, which is his father's maternal sister, which is similar. But his mother's paternal sister is not similar to his maternal sister, so therefore the Rabbanim don't make such a decree, and therefore that's permitted. Now the truth is, all these cases that we described would apply so too that not only when his conception was Shalei B'Kedusha and his lady was B'Kedusha, but even if his conception and his birth was as a non-Jew. So why does the Braisa pick a case of when his conception was Shalei B'Kedusha, but his birth was already when his mother was Jewish? It's not coming to exclude the case of when he was conceived and born in Shalei B'Kedusha, but rather it's coming to exclude if he was conceived and born in the state of sanctity. Because there actually says Rashi that then he would actually be very similar to a Jew, because he was conceived and born when his mother already had converted. So there Rami would make a gezeira where, although really those relationships are not there, the ones that he that were before his mother had converted, even though it's his sister's, but still it might be confused with a full-fledged Jew because he was conceived and born as when his mother had already converted. And therefore then Rami would even hold then even paternal relationships would be forbidden, and even those that were born while his mother was still not Jewish. So therefore, that's why he picked this case of Hayrasa Shalei B'Kedusha, but he does B'Kedusha, not to exclude if all of it was Shalei B'Kedusha, because that, of course, this halacha would apply, but to say because if they were both B'Kedusha, then even those which are not real relationships, then we would still say would be forbidden, even She'er Av. Continues the Braisa, Shehoyu Remeir Oimer, because Remeir had said, and this is what's going to be the contradiction from the Remeir of the previous Av, as we said that he holds even the mother's paternal sister, because anything that has a maternal relationship is forbidden. But if it has only paternal relationships, then that could be maintained. Continues the Braisa, umutur be'eshes achiv, and this convert is permitted in his brother's wife, even if it's his maternal brother. We're obviously we're talking about, but it's after that his brother had passed away, because if his brother was still alive, then she'd be forbidden because of Eishes Ish. Now, even if his brother had married her after he converted, when he was already Jewish, or he married her when he was non-Jewish, but he maintained her when he had converted, still there's not going to be a problem because there is no Is of Eishes Ach for a non-Jew. So therefore there's no concern for the whole rabbinic reason of why we say the relationships are forbidden, even though he's not really related, because they're both brothers, but they would convert, they're like newborn children, they're not related. So the old problem is Shema Yemru here, you don't have Shema Yemru because it's not forbidden as a non-Jew to say that he got lighter, less sanctity when they became Jewish. So too he's permitted to be Eishes Achi Aviv, his father's brother's wife, and all those that come from marital prohibitions, because the whole reason is Shema Yemru, which doesn't apply, because this Tana holds with Meir that there's no prohibition for a non-Jew for any arayas that are due to the fact of marital relationships. And there's also no problem about the relativity because of a relative, because as we said, that he's kakot and shenelo dummy, it's like a brand new, and therefore they're not really brothers. And the whole issa would be only because of eshes achi aviv or eshes achiv, and that's not a problem by a non-Jew. Ushar kol arayas, and also all other forbidden relationships that happen, that come because of ishes, because of marriage, mutaris are permitted for the convert. Which the Gemara says, that's lasui eshes av, that comes to include even his father's wife, whereas regarding, let's say, one's daughter-in-law, the convert's daughter-in-law, or his wife's sister, that would not be able to be the case that's being included over here, because we're talking about a ger that was born b'kedusha. He was born as a Jew already. He was conceived as a non-Jew, he was born as a Jew, and therefore the only wife he had was Jewish, and therefore obviously his daughter-in-law would be forbidden. And moreover, it cannot be the case of a chais ishta, his wife's sister, because that's explicitly in the next case, which says that if he married a woman and her daughter, he'd be able to only be married to one of them and not the other one, which the same thing would apply to two sisters. Which the next case says, nasa isha ubita, if he marries a woman and her daughter, which Rashi explains, this is actually not going in the previous case, this is going in general regarding converts. If he had married them when he was not Jewish, which he was permitted in a woman and a daughter, and then they converted with them, or even if it's going in the previous case, but it's only talking about that, the same thing, it's just because we were talking about a ger, so it continues with that, but the truth is, then that same halacha would apply to a full-fledged Jew, who if he marries two women that converted, but one's a mother and a daughter, so halacha is kainis achas and maitzi achas. So he could only maintain one of them, but he has to remove the other one. Now continues the Brayso. Look at Trillo Yichnes. As the Gemara Masech Zivamez explains that this halacha, the Brayso, is going back on all the cases we said before. Although we said Yikayim, that there are certain cases that we said he could maintain the marriage, but initially one should not go ahead and marry them because it still looks like that one is marrying a forbidden erva, although in this case, since he's a convert, it's permitted. Continues the Brayso. Mesa Ishtoi, if his wife passes away, then he's permitted in his mother-in-law, where although that he had maintained his wife when he converted, but a non-Jew is not forbidden in his mother-in-law, which would say that the whole reason why we say that certain things are forbidden, even though he's not related to them anymore, is because, what, it got easier when they became Jewish? That's only if it's forbidden when the Bnei Noach, and the Bnei Noach is not forbidden to marry his mother-in-law. Moreover, neither is it really his mother-in-law, even though they both converted, because when his wife and his mother-in-law convert, there's no relationship whatsoever. They're like brand new children. They're not related, the mother and the daughter, to each other, and therefore it's permitted when his wife passed away in his mother-in-law. But Gedamri, also Bachamais, and some of them actually know he is still forbidden in his mother-in-law, where the Gemara there in Yipsach Zivamas explains this machlekes. But the primary thing why the Gemara is bringing this braisa was, because the Remeir is quoted as saying that this ger is mutter be'eshes aviv. He's permitted to marry his father's wife, even though a Jewish court would execute a Jewish person that had relations with his father's wife. So too, b'chamaisi, when he said he's permitted to marry his mother-in-law, a Jewish court would execute for that. So too, the question is the other way, is that it says that he's forbidden in his sister, and his father's sister, and his mother's sister, even though those cases a Jewish court would not execute. Those are covers. Those are not that a Jewish court would execute. So there's two contradictions in both ways. Remeir was quoted in the previous daf in the Brayis that said that if a Jewish court executes, a non-Jew is forbidden. A Jewish court does not execute, a non-Jew is not forbidden. Yet here we have cases that are the Jewish court would execute, and he's not forbidden, and the Jewish court would not execute, and we're saying he is forbidden. So Rabbi Yehuda, this is loikasha, it's not a difficulty. Hara Meir aliba derb Eliezer, but Hara Meir aliba derb Akiva, these two different Brayis, yeah, they're both Remeir, but Remeir was a student of both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, as obvious from different Gemaras. So the Brayis that said that his sister is forbidden to him with the second Brayis, and that his father's wife is permitted to him, that's Remeir according to Rabbi Eliezer. This first Brayis on the previous daf that said that only Chiva Mises are forbidden to the non-Jew and not Chiva Krisis, that was Remeir according to Rabbi Akiva. As the Gemara said, "Tan like Linda Brisa." Pasuk says in Bereishis, "Al kein yazav ish es aves imoy," and therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother. This pasuk was said to Admirishin, which are Bnei Noach, meaning although Nuch came afterwards, but that's what we call the category of anyone that's not part of the Jewish people. Rabbi Eliezer, he interprets this pasuk, what's it coming to say regarding relationships that are permitted for Bnei Noach and those that are forbidden? He says, and again, this is what we said, that the second brice is Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Eliezer. He says, when it says he should leave Av of his father, it means Achais Av. It means his father's sister, which if his father's sister is forbidden, for sure his own sister. When it says Imai, his mother, it means Achais Imai, it means his mother's sister. Rabbi Kiva says, Av, when it says his father, it means Eishes Av, not his father's sister, but his father's wife. Imai, his mother, it means Imai Mamash, is literally his mother. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer is talking about that sisters are forbidden. That's like this brisa, where although in the Beis Din Shel Yisrael is not mamis nalal, that's Rabbi Kiva who said that it's tully in Eishes. So we see that Eishes Aviv, we see that marriage, those type of relationships are forbidden, because yeah, those are cases that mamis nalal, that klal of Remeir fits in to what Rabbi Kiva, whereas the second teaching of Remeir on this daf was Rabbi Eliezer. Brisa continues explaining that pasuk. So it says a man shall leave his father and his mother, which different opinions what that means. And then it says v'davak he should cleave v'loy bezachar. That's obviously saying that the union that he's supposed to have is not with another male, where there's no cleaving, because since the one that's being lain with does not cleave with the person that's laying with him, because it doesn't have pleasure in that type of relations, therefore they cannot be davak. And when the next word in the pasuk says that it should cleave be'ishta with his wife, it means v'loy be'ishas chaver, it means b'nei noach are forbidden to have relations with his friend's wife. And then the pasuk concludes, v'hoy l'basar echad, they should be one flesh. What that means to say is, mishen nasan basar echad, they who become one flesh, meaning that a seed comes out from them that will make a child from both the flesh of the father and the mother, they become one, yetzu behemah v'chai yishen nasan basar echad, which excludes bestiality, which having relations with an animal, a wild animal, where they do not become one flesh, because the animal cannot give birth from the human seed. So again, these cases of Rabbi Kiva are all chiv and mises. And that's where we learn that on Amud Aleph, on the previous daf, the first brisa, that it teaches that all chiv and mises, those which a Jewish person would get the court execution, that's forbidden to Ben Noach. But Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold of the relationships of Ishas. He doesn't have, when it says by him Aviv, it doesn't mean Ishas Aviv, it means Achais Aviv. So even though that's the case that Bezin Shal Yisrael Mamis Nalev, he does not hold that that's going to be forbidden for Ben Noach. And moreover, he also has cases that is included for the Isra of Ben Noach of relationships of sisters, Achais Aviv and Achais Imai, even though those are cases that the Bezin Shal Yisrael is not Mamis Nalev, again, because that general rule of Remei was said according to Rabbi Kiva, whereas this opinion of Remei was going according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now that we resolve the contradiction, now the Gemara goes to explain this brisa, this machlikas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva. Amamar, we just quoted this brisa. It says Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, he says when it says that a non-Jew, a regular person, should leave Aviv, his father, it means a chais Aviv, his father's sister. Ask the Gemara, Ema Aviv Mamish, maybe it means literally, he should leave his father, meaning he should not have relations with his father. Says the Gemara, no, hainya b'davik v'lei b'zacha, that we really learned that from a different word in that pasuk, as we mentioned, which says that he should cleave, which is not possible by having anal relations with another male. So ask the Gemara, ema eishes av, but how do you know it's your father's sister? Maybe it's his father's wife, which actually how Rabbi Kiva had interpreted. Says the Gemara, no, hainya b'ishta v'lei b'ishas chaver, that's already known from a different word in that pasuk, which says he should cleave with his wife, and now with his friend's wife. And that's already someone else's wife, specifically his father's wife. But as to Gemara, but Emel Achar Misa, maybe say that it's coming to make his father's wife forbidden even after his father passed away, when then it's not an Eishes Ish, and it's not his friend's wife. Maybe that's what it's coming to teach from Aviv, which is father's wife after his father passed away. So the Gemara, no, because Dum Yedi Imoy. It's saying that he should leave his father and his mother. So it seems that they're similar. Ma Imoy Delav Ish is just like the prohibition for his mother is not through marriage. Af Aviv Delav Ishas, so too, and we'll see shortly why it's not a case of Ishas, so to his father is not a case of marriage, so it's not talking about Ishas Aviv, just like Imoy is not the prohibition of his mother in marriage, so to the case of father is not a case of father in marriage, so it's not Ishas Aviv, rather it's a case of Achais Aviv. So Beleza continued, it says Imoy, and it says he shall leave his mother, it means Achais Imoy, it means his mother's sister. So ask the Gemara, Ve'ema Ima Mamish, maybe it means literally his mother, like Rabbi Kiva had learned. Says the Gemara, no, Hainu Be'ishta B'le Be'ishas Chaver. That's already included when the Pasuk says that he should cleave with his wife and not with his friend's wife. In this case, if it was literally his mother, it would mean his father's wife, which is already known from Eishas, from Eishas Chaver. So the Gemara asks, but Ve'emalachar Misa, maybe it means to say his father's wife, and his, literally his mother, which is his father's wife, after his father passed away. With that you wouldn't know from Eishas Chaver. It's not an Eishas Ish anymore. So the Gemara, no, because Dumi de Aviv, as he said the other way around, that because Imoy is compared to Aviv in that Pasuk. Ma Aviv, love of Mamash, just like when it says he should leave his father, it doesn't mean literally his father, because we said that we know from Medavik Vilei Bezachar. Af Imoy de Lav Mamash, when it means his mother, it doesn't mean literally his mother, and that's why it can't mean his mother who is his father's wife. That's why it means Achais Imoy. So that's according to Eliezer, both Aviv and Imoy is the sisters of the father and the mother. Rabbi Kiva, I remember we quoted over there, he said, when it says Aviv, he should leave his father, means Eishes Aviv, his father's wife. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema Aviv Mamash, maybe means literally his father. So the Gemara, no, Haini V'davik V'lev V'zachah, that already know from cleaving, which is not possible in homosexuality. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Eishes Aviv Nami. So then, wait a second, then his father's wife too, if you're saying that we can't say things that are known from a different word in the Pasuk, so Haini B'ishra B'lev Eishes Chaver, that we already know you can't have, you can't marry your father's wife, because it says you can't marry anyone else's wife, which could only be your wife, not someone else's wife. So that includes also the father's wife. So it's the Gemara Lachar Misa, you're right, Eishes Chaver is forbidden when the person is alive. When he's not alive, you're allowed to marry someone else's widow, which is not the case. It's coming to forbid Eishes Aviv, even after, for a non-Jew, even after his father passed away. Then Rabbi Kiva said, when it says he should leave Ima his mother, it means Ima Mamash. It means literally he's not allowed to marry his mother. So the Gemara says, but Hainu B'ishta V'lev Eishes Chaver, but that's already known, his mother is married to his father. Already know that he can't marry his mother because it's his friend's wife. Now, moreover, neither can you say, the Gemara couldn't have answered, that it's talking about even after his father passed away, because if that's the case, then that's what we already know from Aviv, which we said means Eishes Aviv, which already said that case is coming to say even after his father passed away. So rather, says the Gemara, it means Imay Manu Sase, the prohibition of marrying his mother, and he's born from his mother who had married his father. No, she was not married to his father. Is that his father had raped and had given birth to him from his mother out of wedlock. So it was never forbidden because of Eishes Aviv. She was never married to his father. And there's only a prohibition of his mother, which, yeah, that would even apply when his father's still alive. And that's the prohibition of marrying his mother, which is when she's just his mother, not Eishes Av. So the Gemara says, my commitment, what is the fundamental crux of their machlekes? Why does, they said different reasons why, but what's the underlying principle why Rabbi Kiva is learning it regarding Eishes, regarding relationship, marriage relationships, whereas Rabbi Lezer was learning it as sisters, as kurva. Says Gemara, Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Lazar holds, as we continue to base, that Aviv Dumya de Imay, as he said in the previous discussion, he compares when it says you should leave your father and he should leave his mother, one to the other. And Imay Dumya de Aviv, and the mother to the father. Which, Lemeshkachas El Ba'achva, as we said in the discourse, that it's only possible with siblings. Because, like we said, they both can't mean literally, meaning you can't marry your father or your mother, because B'davik already tells us that he can't marry his father because he can't marry any other male. Neither can they both be talking about through marriage, because as we said, that the case of his mother cannot be then also in marriage, because then that's the same case as his father in marriage, which means his father's wife, and his mother would also be his father's wife already. Therefore, both of them have to be talking about with siblings, meaning the prohibition of marrying the sisters of his father and his mother. Whereas Rabbi Kiva, he disagrees. He says, "Mutiv lo ukmi be'eshes aviv." It's better to explain the case of leaving his father not as his father's sister, but rather as his father's wife, as the simple understanding of the pasuk, because the ikri ervas aviv, his father's wife, could be understood as in when it says he shall leave his father, yazav ishes aviv. It makes sense to say that means when we say it's his father's erva, it means his father's wife. Because as we find elsewhere in the Torah, in Vayikra Yudches, when it says regarding his father's wife, it calls it erva savichahi, she's the erva of your father. Lafuki achais aviv, whereas the way Rabbi Eliezer explains it, to exclude the case of his father's sister, where the pasuk doesn't sound like that. Because his father's sister, the share aviv ikri, she's called the father's relative. Like the pasuk says in Vayikra Yudches, erva achais avicha le'segali, do not marry your father's sister, ki she'er avichahi, she's your father's relative. But Erva is Avav Leikri, you should not call the Erva of your father. And therefore, if it's saying leave your father, he doesn't like the Rebbe Lezer's interpretation to say it means your father's sister. And therefore, rather, he explains it's your father's wife. And regarding Imai, it also means his mother. But again, that would be Imai Manosasai when she gave birth to him out of wedlock and was never his father's wife. So now, regarding this Machlekes, the Gemara brings different proofs to try to prove which interpretation is correct. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Seemingly from a pasuk in Shemais, not like Reb Eliezer. Pasuk says, "Vikach Amram es Yecheved deidasai," that Amram took Yecheved his aunt, meaning it was his father Kahasa's sister. My love, don't you see from the pasuk that she was deidasai? She was his father Kahasa's sister, even minaim, even though they shared the same mother. And you see, it was permitted for Amram, obviously because his father's maternal sister is permitted to them, because this was before Matan Torah, so they had the same halacha as B'nai Nayach. You see that a maternal sister is permitted, which is not like Reb Eliezer. Reb Eliezer said that Achais Ha'av is forbidden for a Ben Nayach, which is maternal sister. And here, similarly, it was his father's maternal sister, and still was permitted. So Zigmar Lai, no, Deidasa, it was his aunt, meaning it was his father's sister, Mino Av. They only shared the same father from Levi, but actually they didn't have the same mother. And his father's paternal sister is permitted because for a non-Jew it says, Yazav Ishes Avves Imai, which we expound, it's talking about his father's sister, is only his father's maternal sister. As the Gemara teaches later on from Vegam Amna Chisi Bas Abihi, as we find by Avram telling Abimelech, that don't worry, she's my father's daughter, which therefore I'm allowed to marry her, whereas my mother's daughter would be forbidden. So therefore, it's not a contradiction to Reb Eliezer. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from a different pasuk in Bereishis, which is not like Reb Akiva. The pasuk says, which we just referenced, that Avram says to Avimelech, regarding when it was found out that Sarah was really his wife, he says, you told me she's your sister, and now I found out she's your wife. So Avram responded, he said, "Vegam amna," and the truth is that yes, achaisi bas avihi, she is my sister, but she's my sister, the daughter of my father, achloi bas imi, but not my mother's daughter. So says the Gemara, it sounds like machlal. So he was rationalizing, he's saying, "What? It's not a contradiction. She could be my sister and still be married to me. How so? It's only because it sounds like that because she's my paternal sister. Machlal de basa emasur, but it sounds like that if she was the daughter of my mother, meaning my maternal sister, then it would be forbidden, which is not like Rabbi Kiva, who he said that we don't see anywhere in the pasuk forbidding b'nei noach in sisters. We find only his father's wife or his mother, but we don't find parental sisters to say the same thing would apply to his own sisters. Says the Gemara, but Tizbar, is that logical to ask him this pasuk under Rabbi Kiva? And the whole pasuk doesn't make sense. Achaisi havya? What, was Sarah Avram Avinu's sister? Bas achiv havya? But Bas achiv havya, to the contrary, it wasn't his father's daughter. It was his brother's daughter. V'kivin the hachihu, and since that's the case, loishna menav, loishna menayim sharia. Everyone would agree that his brother's daughter, his niece, which is what Sarah was to him, is permitted whether it be from paternal or maternal. Rather, this is what the pasuk was saying, that when he was saying that she's my brother's daughter from my father's side and not from my mother's side, it's not because of regarding what's prohibited or permitted. Rather, he was just coming to explain what he had originally said. This that you're accusing me that I said that she's my sister, and that said, and but now you're finding out she's my wife, and that says Avram Avinu. I do have a sister relationship with her. That relationship that I have is from my father's side, not from my mother's side. In other words, that she is my brother's daughter, who is my brother from my father. And that's why I called her my sister, because although she's my niece, but b'nei ban marim kebanim. The fact that she's my father's grandchild is almost makes her like my father's child. And therefore, it's like my father's daughter. Now, this that he says, Achli Basimi, but she's not the daughter of my mother, is not to say because if she was my maternal sister, then she'd be forbidden. He was just coming to explain the actual facts. And the reason why he was coming to say that was, in general, as we find, has nothing to do with Asr and Mutra anyway, because either way she's his niece and she'd be permitted anyway. Rather, it was just a clarification of the facts, and therefore it's not difficult, according to Rabbi Kiva.
Gemara continues to try to bring a raya toshema from the following brayse, and not like Rabbi Akiva. The brayse says, "V'mnei lo yinasa Adam es biter." Why didn't Adam Arishan marry his daughter? Now, as Tosafot explains, the reason for this question is because when Chava, his wife, ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, she was fit to have been killed right then on the spot. But then the problem would have been that he would have been without a wife, and the Torah already said it's not good for a man to be without a wife, and that addresses the Braisa, but he could have married his daughter. Says the Braisa, so why didn't he? Is Kedisha Yisa Kain HaSachaisa, so that his son Kain should be able to marry his sister. Shnem, like the Pasuk says, and tell him, Ki Amarti, Hashem says, because I said, Oilam Chesed Yibana, that a world of kindness should be built, meaning that the beginning of the world will be built on kindness, where Hashem had commanded to Adam Arishan to do kindness with his son, to make his daughter forbidden to him, and to permit it to his son Cain, so that the world should be able to be built and proliferated, where Cain will have a wife, which is his sister, to get married, because there was no other family at that time. And that's actually what the Pasuk means in Mayuka Chof, when it says that if a man will marry his sister, the daughter of his father, that Chesed who, so in this context, what it means to say is that this that I permitted for Cain, which was to marry his sister, the daughter of his father, I had done kindness, allowing that to be at that point. Now, but one thing as the Gemara, but it sounds like that it's only because of Olam Chesed Yibana that it was permitted for a Ben Noach, which again we call anyone before Klal Yisrael, to marry his sister. Halav Halchi Asir, but if not, it would sound like that his sister would be forbidden. So you see, now like Rabbi Akiva, who says that a Ben Noach is not forbidden in sisters, says the Gemara, no, to the contrary, even the Ishtri, since it became permitted for Cain, so then it became permitted for posterity too, and therefore, yeah, to the contrary, you see that sisters are permitted for Bnei Noach. So the Gemara did not prove either one, Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara continues, related to Amar Rav Huna, says, Kuti mutra bebitoi. Both according to Rabbi Elazar and according to Rabbi Akiva, Rav Huna holds that a non-Jew is permitted to marry his daughter. And the reason for that is because Rav Huna holds, unlike as we said on Amar Aleph, that we do not learn any of the other arayas from those which are written in the Pasuk, because from the fact that the Pasuk specified certain ones, as we said, that Vidavik says not Zachar, and it says Lavasar Echad, not animals, and Aviv, whether it be Eshes Aviv or Achais Aviv, so it's specifically those that are forbidden for Ben Nanaych, that which is not mentioned, even like one's own daughter, is permitted. Now, Vim Taiman, and if you're going to say, says Rav Huna, Memnei Maloi Nasa Adam Esbitis, then why didn't Adam marry his daughter? That's for a different reason, as we said in the Brayse before, Kadesha Yisa Kain HaSachesa, so that Kain should be able to marry his sister, B'shem Oilam Chesed Yibana. So though really, Chava should have died, and then Adam should have married his daughter, but to be able to have the world built on kindness, for Kain to have someone to marry, that's why he stayed with Chava, and he didn't marry his daughter, but really, a Ben Noach is permitted in a daughter. Mikudami, those have a different version, that Amar Rav Huna said, Kuti Asa Bebita, no, Kuti is forbidden to marry his daughter. And Teidi, you should know, Shalei Nasa Adam Esbita, and that's why Adam didn't marry his daughter. According to this version, the Gemara says Velohim, but it's not like the way Rav Huna said. Hasam Haina Taima Kadesha Yisa Kainas Achesi. No. The reason why he didn't marry his daughter was not because it's forbidden. It's only so that Kain should be able to marry his sister, Mishum de Oilam Chesed Yibana. Continuing on this theme, Omar of Chizda says Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave owned by a Jew, Mutabi Imai, Umutabita, he's actually permitted to marry his mother and permitted to marry his daughter. Because although we said that a convert is forbidden in these types of relationships, let's say his mother, because up until now he's forbidden in that. So when he becomes Jew, even though really he's not really related biblically, but rabbinically we say people are going to say, what, becoming a Jew, you could do things you couldn't even do as a non-Jew? And that says Rav Chisda, but an Eved is permitted to have relations with his mother and with his daughter, and for sure all other arayas related to relativity to relationships. Why? Because once he becomes an Eved, so he already has on some level, like he has the laws of a Isha, he's not considered anymore a Ben Noach. But neither did he become a full-fledged Jew, which would therefore preempt the problematic element of what, the Gezerah, that people are going to say, what, you went from a Kedusha Chamur to Kedusha Kala? No, he's not a full-fledged Jew, but neither is a Ben Noach. So since he's not a Ben Noach, he's not related to them anymore, but neither do they have the Gezer Drabbanan of Shem Yemu, and therefore he's permitted even to marry his mother and his daughter. Now, Kiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Bchanina, he said, Ben Noach Sheyichad Shivcha La'avdai. If a non-Jew designates a maidservant for his slave, uvolau, and instead of giving it to his slave, he goes and he has relations with that shivcha. Neregalau, he actually gets killed for having relations with that shivcha, which we said this in the previous daf, that's actually because of gezel. On some element, it's one of the shev mitz b'nei noyach, which he gets killed for, stealing because he already designated this woman for his slave. So that the Gemara asks, me'emas, from when is it considered that he really designated for his slave, that it's like, that would be an erva, that it would be chayav for gezel, the master. I'm Rav Nachman, midukarala, when the girls in the city already call that shifcha, refis the planya, that, oh, it's that guy's, that slave's girl. I mean, it's like, they have this monogamous relationship, that it's his girl, that's already designated. If it's already designated, and then the master, the non-Jewish master, goes have relations with her, he's chayav misa. Now, ask the Gemara, and me'emas hatarasa, and from when is she permitted to him, meaning that she's not anymore his girl, meaning she's saying, I'm not with this Eved anymore, I'm already a free agent, and then the master could have relations with her. I'm Rav Huna, mishipara reisha b'shuk. For when she uncovers her head in the marketplace, which actually even the non-Jewish women who were married had the custom not to go out in the marketplace with their hair uncovered. So once she has her hair uncovered, it's obvious she's not related, she's not keeping that relationship anymore with this Eved, and then the master would then be able to have relations with her. Continuing on this theme, Amr Balazar Amr Chanina, Ben Noyach Shabal Ishtay Shalika Darkai. If a non-Jew has relations with his own wife, anally, meaning not the normal way, Chayiv, he's liable for death. Why? Shnem the Pasik says, Vidavak, it says regarding Bnei Noyach, who was said to Adam Rishon, he should cleave in his wife, Veloy Shalika Darkai, and not in a way that's not the normal, because that's not connection, as we said regarding the same reason why homosexuality is forbidden. It's done anal, since the recipient doesn't have pleasure in that, so it's not connecting, it's not cleaving with that person, therefore that's forbidden to a Ben Noyach. Now that Amarava, he asks, Mika Midi, is there really such a thing? The Yisrael, Lemechayev, a non-Jew is not liable if he has anal relations with his wife. V'kuti mechayev, and the non-Jew will be liable, a kuti has more severe halacha? El Amarava, rather, Rava says to the contrary. This halacha actually teaches us a leniency for a Ben Noyach. Ben Noyach Shabal Ishas Chaveri Shaloi Kedarka. A Ben Noyach who is forbidden to have relations with his friend's wife, but if he has relations with her anally, then Pater, then actually he's exempt. My time, what's the reason? Because that same Pasuk says, V'davak be'ishta, he should cleave with his wife, which that tells us, as we said in Amen Al, V'loi be'ishas chaver, not in his friend's wife. Now, when the qualification says V'davak, that the cleaving should be only in his own wife and not in Eishas chaveroi, that's V'loi shaloi kedarka, and that's not, however, in a way that's not the norm. So when it says be'ishta V'loi be'ishas chaveroi, the Torah is only forbidding it for Ben Noyach, if it's done through Devekus, meaning in the normal way. But if he's doing it Shaloi Kedarkai, that's not forbidden. That's not going to make him liable in Eishes Chaver. But yeah, for his own wife, it's going to be permitted because he can't be worse than the Ben Yisrael, who is permitted, whereas the Rishonim discussed that, Taisis over here, where at least in certain situations, it's forbidden for him to have anal relations with his wife. Amar B'chanina, B'chanina says, Oivet kechav m'shehike es Yisrael, a non-Jew who hits a Jew, an idol worshiper who hits a Jewish person, Chayiv Misa is liable for death. Shenema, like it says the passing in Shemais, says that V'yifin koi v'koi, Moshe Rabbeinu looked here and there, V'yar ke'en ish, and he saw there's no one there, and there's no man, V'yachas ha-mitzri, and he killed the mitzri, etc., because since that Egyptian had hit a Jewish person, he killed them. So you see from there that a non-Jew who hits a Jewish person is liable for death. So to Vamer B'chanina, he says, Ha-seiter lo yishol Yisrael, if someone slaps the cheek of a Jewish person, as if he slapped the cheek of the divine presence. Shalom, like it says, the pasuk in Mishlei, Maikish Adam, someone then sneers a person, which that refers to a Jewish person who is called Adam, as the pasuk says, Nechaskal Amadalad, that you are my sheep, you are Tzoyin Marisi, Adam Atam, you are man, which the Gemara Elsewhere Darshan's famously in Yevamis, that Adam Atam, the Jewish people are called Adam, Yala Kodesh, it's as if he was the loya, as if he did something to the cheek of the holy, which is as if he slapped on the cheek, where that's a hitting, that's as if he slapped the cheek of Kodesh, of the Shekhinah, of the Divine Presence. Now the Gemara continues with three teachings from Rish Lakish, which the last one relates back to this topic that we're discussing, which these three teachings are like Magbiah, lifting up, Avdu, his slave, Shabbos, Simon, that's mnemonic for these three teachings. On Rish Lakish, he says, if someone just picks up his hand on his friend, Ava Bichlekio, even though he didn't end up hitting him, or he didn't yet hit him, Nikirush is called a wicked person. Shem, like the Pasuk says in Shemais, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Dathan and Avirim, who were fighting, Vayayma L'Rush, and he says to the wicked person, Lama Sakarecha, why are you going to hit your friend? Now, Lama Hikisa Leinem, it doesn't say, why did you hit your friend? And Lama Saka, why are you hitting? Which tells us, Ava Bishlahiko Nikarasha, even though he didn't even hit him yet, still Moshe Rabbeinu already called him a Rasha, a wicked person. Now, Amr Zeir, Amr B'chanina, he says, Nikar Chayte. He's also called a sinner. Shem, like it says, a Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, which was said in the context of the sons of Eli HaKoyin, who they would grab away meat from people's sacrificial karbanis. So they would say, "V'im loy," and if not, if you're not going to give me the meat, "Lekachte b'chazak," I'm going to take it with force, meaning like picking up his hand, which he's like threatening to say, "I'm going to hit you. I'm going to take it in force." Uksev, and what does it say after that? It says, "V'tihi chatas na'arm gedoy l'moid," that the sin of the youth was very great, meaning to say, just by picking up the hand to say, "I'm going to hit you," already, not only are they called a rasha, but it's already considered sinners. Rav Huna Amar, he says, "Tikatz tz yaday," such a person has to have his hand cut off. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Iyav, it says, "Uzroya rama," that an elevated arm, meaning someone that usually picks up his hand on his friend, tishav, should be broken. And actually, Rav Huna cuts yaday, Rav Huna actually cut off the hand of a certain person that always would be customary to hit his friends, and he penalized them like that. Whereas the Gemara tells us in Daf Mamibav Med Aleph that the courts are allowed to go ahead and do certain punishments that are not even biblically mandated to go ahead and enforce to public and societal needs, and therefore he actually cut off that person's hand. Rabbi Lazam, he says, "Einay takana ela kavura." Someone that lifts up his hand to hit people, the only rectification he has is to be buried. Shemek says, a pasuk in Iyav, "V'ish Azraya," and the man who lifts up his arm, "Loi ha'aretz," for him, the earth is ready for him to be buried over there. I mean, in other words, the only way that his rectification is for him to die and to be buried. Now, different interpretation in that pasuk, Gvamer Balazi says, "Leinitna karka," land was not given over, in other words, not appropriate for it to be acquired. El Labal Israel is only people that are strong-armed, because there's a lot of disputes over land, and also animals come and destroy the crop, and there's thieves that come and steal, and there are those who contest. You got to be very strong to withstand all that opposition, and so therefore you got to be strong. So then, like the pasuk says, "V'ishraya," a man of the arm, a strong person, "loy ha'aretz," for him, owning land is appropriate. Now, the second teaching of Amr Shlakish, Ma'idich said, what does it mean the pasuk in Mishlei, "Oyved ad masa," he who works his land, "yis balechem," will be satiated with bread? Which means, if someone makes himself like a slave to the ground, meaning he's constantly working it, plowing and watering and hoeing and weeding, then yis balechem, then he'll be satiated with the bread. But if not, la yis balechem, he won't be satiated. It takes a lot of work, like a slave to one's land. Now the third teaching, which comes back to the topic we were discussing, Rish Lakish, "Oyved kichavim sheshabbos," which we were talking about the laws of a non-Jew that rests from his work one whole day, chayiv misa, is liable for death. Shem, like the pasuk says in Bereishit, says v'yoyim v'layla lo yishboisu, and day and night will not cease. Now the way that Rish Lakish is expounding this pasuk is that day and night will not cease from doing work that is going on mankind. Which is not to say, as the simple translation of the pasuk is going on, that the six different seasons of the year will not stop being as it was during the time of the Mabul. Rather, it means to say that day and night one cannot stop. One has to constantly work 7 days a week. V'amamar, and the master had said, since we sing from this pasuk that it's forbidden for a non-Jew to stop working, as Zahara Shalahan, Zui Misasin, as we say elsewhere, that the warning that they had is their death penalty, which means to say that anything they're forbidden to do, and they violate, they get killed. So therefore you see from the pasuk that if he takes one day off, he's liable for death. And Amar Avinah, he qualifies and clarifies this halacha, afilu sheni b'shabbos, even if it's a Monday, which is, in other words, he's explained that don't think that this resting that Rish Lakish is talking about means to say for obligatory reasons. In other words, that he, as if he shouldn't go ahead and intend to rest on, let's say, Shabbos, which is the resting day for the Jewish people, or on Sunday, which is the resting day for the Netzrim, for other religions. Rather, what he's saying is forbidden is just taking a day off of rest. He's not allowed to stop working, even a day that's not a day of resting. That's why he picks Monday, because that's the first day that's not a day of rest for any religion, which Shabbos is for the Jewish people, Sunday is for other religions. But the same thing would apply to Tuesday and Wednesday, but that's what he's teaching, that any day he's not allowed to take off. So the Gemara says, so why isn't this considered one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach? Says the Gemara, when do we count those seven noahide laws? Is shev al tasa. They're all things that stop and don't do. But kumasei le'kachasha, but anything that was a positive, proactive commandment, that wasn't counted for the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. And this where it says le'yish b'yisu, you're not allowed to stop, is essentially saying get up and do work. So any proactive commandment that the non-Jewish people have was not included in that list of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. However, the Gemara asks, as we continue to have the Testament Aleph, but Vodinin Kumasehu, one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach, is judgment, and that's a positive, proactive thing, and yet for Kachashav, that's counted. Says the Gemara, no. Kumaseh, yeah, there is an element of get up and judge, but Vishev al Tasin, there's also an element of stop and don't do anything that's inappropriate. In other words, even an individual that's not commanded to judge, he's just sitting there and doing nothing. He's commanded not to do something that's unjustified. And that's what the Torah warns when it says, Loisasu Avel, don't do Avel, doesn't mean get up and do judgment. Rather, it's its own halacha. Just don't do something that's going to be hurtful and it's going to be injustice. In contrast, the warning of Loisishbais is by default only a komase. When it says don't stop, it means the only thing it's telling you is get up and do. That's purely komase. That's not included in the list of the Shemetz B'nei Noach. The Shemetz B'nei Noach have to have an element of Sheval Tase in it, of don't do something wrong, don't harm the world. That's from the elements of the Shemetz B'nei Noach, which, although we're saying he's Chayiv Misa, but since it's a komase, it wasn't included in that list of the Shemetz B'nei Noach.